I've been going through the Lord Jesus made like 7 I am statements in scripture, and I've tried to go through them in a bit of a systematic way of doing it. So if you're visiting today, I'm just doing another I am statement that the Lord Jesus said. And it's I am the resurrection and the life. And the songs that we've sung this morning, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And in some ways you can go through the complete Bible, and the resurrection speaks through the complete Bible. In the Old Testament, Elijah, Elisha, different scenarios where there's a picture of resurrection. And then in the New Testament you've got the Gospels, which basically say that there's eyewitness accounts of the resurrection. If you're not a believer today and you don't believe this incredible person, Jesus Christ, can I just say, read the Gospels. The eyewitness accounts of the resurrection are the ones that have spoken to me. And then if you go into the book of Acts, it goes into them proclaiming the resurrection. They are ready, they believe, and they are ready to get out on the streets to their neighbours and to talk about the wonderful Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. And if you read the epistles, basically they've taken it as for granted. Our ministry is based upon the resurrected Christ. A lot of Paul's talking is about Jesus being the resurrected Christ. And in Revelation you get wonderful pictures of Jesus, the resurrected one. So it's throughout all the scripture. That's a wonderful thing. Can I just say this to today? If you're a Christian today and you don't believe in the resurrection, it is futile. Paul says that word. Your faith is basically futile if you do not believe that the Lord Jesus conquered the grave, and we've sung it this morning. Oh, it's wonderful. This is the life-changing thing that we believe in. Because of the resurrected Christ Jesus, we can have victory in all these different circumstances that we go through. You may be thinking, oh, I've heard this before, Mark. Yeah, I got it. But actually, in the outliving and outworking of it, sometimes you can be in dire situations. Just get a glimpse of the wonderful cross. And that he rose, conquered all that pain and death, and rose to be with his Father. That gets us through. It gets me through. Precious Lord. If you have a Bible, just turn with me to John chapter 11. And this is just a little story which many would know, but maybe some don't know. But it's a story of Lazarus. And he was a dear friend of the Lord Jesus. Jesus wept when he got close to that place where he knew he was asleep or dead. He wept. John chapter 11. And it says this. We'll pick it up. There's three characters. There's Mary, there's Martha, and there's Lazarus in this story. And it's the first time that the Lord says these words, I am the resurrection and the life. So this is the context of it, okay? Basically, Lazarus is very sick, okay? And whilst Lazarus is sick, Jesus says an interesting comment in verse 4. When Jesus heard, he said, this is when he was sick, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That is the basis of this story, okay? That the Lord would be glorified through it. When you go through hardships and different things, the incredible thing is that the Lord can be glorified through it. We live in an instant society where we want instant relief from something. Pain, discomfort. We want an instant result, okay? I work in dentistry and I have to sort people's teeth out. People want an instant smile, and it's a big glowing white smile. But the work that goes into having to sort people's teeth out, it's a process, okay? This is when you all put your hands like this, and you're like, you get a little bit nervy when people... But the process of restoring people's teeth, it is a process. It is not an instant fix. Anyway, that is kind of linked to allowing the Lord's glory to be worked out. It is not an instant thing. He takes us on a journey. And then we carry on down to verse 11. These things he said... And after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. Just forget it, Lord. Look, we're busy what we're doing now, okay? I'm reading in between the lines here. I think they were slightly frustrated, okay? And then he says, however, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And then it goes on down to verse 20. Now Martha, as soon as she had heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. That is a statement of faith. That is a clear statement of faith. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. You know that we will be resurrected on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Can I ask you that question this morning? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I know we're very British and very polite. We tend to do a but do you believe this?
Yes.
It's life changing. He himself, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life. She was talking about an event in the future, the day of resurrection. He came along and said, no, I am the resurrection. It's more than just an event, it's a person. Jesus Christ. Oh, that's wonderful. You can tell that in my private reading, and I sometimes have to keep a little bit chained down, but in some ways when you read it and read it again and it starts to sink in, oh, the resurrection life. He's brought new life into the world. Lord, I'm sorry for making it into something of a method, something of structure, something that you nostalgically look back onto. No, it's today. The resurrection life is today. It could be for someone that has not yet known it. My biggest prayer is the people that I work with and family members that don't yet know Jesus, the resurrection and the life, that he can come in and transform things. Just come with me into a few more scriptures. Come into 1 Peter chapter 1. This really just talks about the resurrection of life. There's a bit of a process. Again, I keep using this appropriate process. You could change that word for regeneration. What the resurrection life does is it regenerates people. I was going to bring along this morning, in my workplace I have to have a defib, okay, just in case someone, and I have to have oxygen, and I was going to bring it in this morning and try and do a, I realised the youth were out of the meeting, so it wouldn't really, but I wanted some sort of picture of a defib and some oxygen, and basically these things help with resuscitation. And in my thoughts this week I was thinking about what's the difference with resuscitation and resurrection. And I got this clear thing of resuscitation is a thing, almost a bit of a, dare I say it, it's a last kind of minute thing, that if I was in the dental surgery now and someone collapsed and I had to do the and I've had the training to do that, the percentage wise of those coming back to life again aren't that great, sorry, just a, okay, so, but it is there, and it can, but there is a clear difference with resurrection life and resuscitation life. I've been thinking about it, that we, in some ways, we look sometimes just to be resuscitated, and then, oh, get on to the next thing. I'll face the next thing. And then you get another little zap, and then you're on to the next thing. Okay? Then a little bit of oxygen. Keep going. I'm going through this really hard time. I need some oxygen. Can I just say, that will just go. Then you'll face another thing and you'll feel defeated. Can I just say, resurrection life is different. It's that Jesus has gone and done it before. It says that he's the first fruits of resurrection life. That means that when he was resurrected, his body was going to stay that same body. Lazarus was going to die again. He was going to die again. The others in the Old Testament, they would die again. But can I just say, the Christian walk is, it's a resurrection life. It's not a resuscitation. He doesn't just come along and do a quick fix, does our Lord Jesus, and do a little bit of a, it's not even like it when you think about the time when Adam was there in Genesis. God breathed in life through his nostrils, and it was life that changed everything in his whole being. It wasn't just a little, come on Adam, I've got a few jobs for you to do around the garden. I'll give you enough kind of breath just to get through that hurdle, and then I'll give you another. It's not. I don't know if that makes, if that's a great picture or not. Oh, the resurrection life is more than just a resuscitation. It really is. 1 Peter, it says this, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, which we sang about just now. That great chasm that has been brought together to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only hope that you can have in these days now is if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what gives us living hope. That's what I want to give people that don't yet know the Lord. There is hope. You'll be at, you'll possibly be asked a question. If you're living the life of the Lord Jesus wants you to, you will be asked questions by people that don't yet know the Lord. There's something that will stir something for them to ask a question. Then you have to give a defense. And often Christians get overly defensive. And they kind of back into the corner and you start saying, well, they just want a loving answer. Okay? And we will have to give a reason for our hope. That's a scripture, isn't it? What's the reason for your hope this morning? One person's listening. Thank you, Jenny. Oh. But it is. It's the resurrection life. It's him. And him alone. Our faith is not in structures of how we do church. Our faith is not just coming on a 10:30 on a Sunday morning here. Our faith is not just in when we come on a Thursday night and pray together. Our faith has to be in the object of Christ and him alone. And him resurrected from the dead. Oh, it excites me. If it wasn't, it would be futile. My faith now, my words, my preaching would be empty words, Paul says. You may think they're a bit empty anyway. You don't need to respond to that. Maybe on Zoom. But oh, what a life, the resurrection life. The great thing is we don't need to do too much of effort and attainment. It's one of the dangers. Or comparison. GoCompare.com. Lots of Christians do it, and we compare and we look a bit horizontally, and we, what's good? Oh, it's this way. It's to him. Christ and him alone. Oh, if I can just, if you forget everything we've said this morning, can I leave you this? Gaze at him again in your quiet time. Maybe if it's when you go back home later on. It's what I did many years ago when I was in Canada. I had to go in a room on my own. I had to face the Lord Jesus. And I had to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Fill me with your spirit that brings life. The resurrection and the life. It's his life in us. It goes on here. Verse 3 talks about the living hope. And then it says in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then I love these words after this verse. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. And I've underlined it in my Bible. In this you greatly rejoice. Oh! Are you rejoicing this morning? I spent years not rejoicing because I was overanalyzing things so much. And I'd lost just the sense of the simplicity of just loving and allowing the Lord to love me and abiding in Christ. I talked to the young guys who helped with boys camp last weekend, and I talked about the abiding in Christ and the vine. I don't know if you noticed it when you came in this morning, there's a vine that stretches over the door there. And I was talking about the vine, and I said that one of the issues these days is that we think that we're the vine ourselves. We are just branches connected to the vine. Who's the vine?
Jesus.
We get it a little bit the wrong way round, and we start thinking this is the vine life. I'm not looking at any vines here now. But this is it. It's the branch life. Can I say it's wonderful just to be a branch? I said to the young lads, oh, the culture of today is to make you a vine, make you self-sufficient. You're the one. Strength is in you. Don't look to any other. All completely wrong. It's just tipsy, wrong way around. It's Christ is the vine that grows out there. He wants the branch to be connected. Then throw in some sap. I think that's the Holy Spirit. Am I allowed that? It's the thing that just flows around. Brings life. Makes you, when you go into a room where there's someone that's on the edges, no one's talking to them. That sap, the Holy Spirit, brings something in us that will just go after that person that's been neglected. Maybe neglected by society, by friends, the lonely one. That's what he does. I did say to the lads that I was trying to design a t-shirt and it was going to say Branch Life. Little JN15. And then one of them said, I'll get the t-shirts printed. So, but it's the branch life. Just a reminder.
Open the Nasty store and then attach it to the church website.
Oh dear, well, you've got entrepreneur there. Just a reminder though. It's knowing our place in Christ. The branch. We can get a bit confused looking at what am I bearing today? What fruit will I bear today? I think I might do. No. Just be connected to him.
Yeah.
Keep being connected to him. Let him prune you. Let the vine dresser, which is God, prune you. You could even say the prune life, but I don't think it has the right... It doesn't have the right tone, does it? But in some ways it's hard to separate them, isn't it? If someone asked me, have you been pruned? I'd say, I have. One of the lads from boys camp said, oh, how have you been pruned? And I said, well, as a young teenager, I wanted to be the next Premier League football star. But I think part of the pruning was that I was made to be a very average footballer. Because if I'd gone that route, what would have happened? How we can look back and think the Lord, by his wonderful grace, has saved us from things. Anyway, let's go on. Just another illustration, of resurrection life. This is in the Old Testament. Ezekiel. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Ezekiel 37. This is about some dry bones. We've talked about resurrection in people's lives. This is about a nation. This is about God resurrecting or renewing a nation. Ezekiel chapter 37. You know this is a prophecy by Ezekiel about dry bones. And they were very dry bones, by the way. They weren't just dry bones, these were very dry. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. I think it was Martha said in the AV that the grave stinketh. That is a good description of sin. Stinks, yeah. That's a great description. I was reading it this week. That's a description of sin and the life, not living the resurrection life. We are just in sin. And that stinks. Can I say that? It's in the Bible, so I can. Now let's go into this Ezekiel. I'll briefly go through it. This is about a prophecy. And it's about Israel, the nation of God, wanting to join two tribes together. And he goes on later and talks about a stick being joined together. In actual fact, that stick being joined together, I might go off a little bit here, but when I was talking about abiding in Christ and the vine, there's a great process of grafting. There's gardeners here, aren't there? Are there gardeners here? Correct me if I'm wrong. But there's a grafting process, okay? You have the root stock at the bottom. Then you have the scion, I think it is, which is the thinner part on the top. And the amazing thing is that I did a little demonstration of the boys' camp leaders, but you cut this wood in certain ways and bind it together, then it grows together. And I thought, that was such a wonder. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to go through the grafting process. Don't you find that amazing? If you just get a packet of seeds and try and grow a fruit tree, not being funny, but the actual fruit that comes off it is sour. Sometimes it doesn't fruit for maybe up to 7 years. And it was giving this illustration of, but if you're grafted into Christ, there's an assurance there. There's an assurance to be grafted into him. Wonderful. Sorry, that was off on a little. But these dry bones, it says this, the hand of the Lord came upon me, this is Ezekiel, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews or tendons on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am God. What an incredible picture of resurrection life. This is for a nation, but it's also the same of what he does in a person's life. And it goes on. Verse 9, and he also said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath. That basically means from all the areas around. And O breathe, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Oh, that's amazing. They lived and they stood. How did they get it? They heard. They heard the word. I don't know if you remember when you first heard the word of the good news. Can you think back to those times when you heard that true, wonderful gospel? And when you responded in your heart, that was when the Lord came in with resurrected life. Maybe this morning you're feeling like these dry bones. Maybe you've come in a time when you're feeling in this valley where there's not much life. Well, the Lord can come in. He wonderfully comes in and he puts tendons in us. He puts flesh on us. And then he also gives us breath to live. Wonderful. I haven't checked my notes. Just come with me to another place. This is in Romans. Romans chapter 6. I know I'm jumping around a little bit today. The subject of the resurrection and the life is so huge. To be able to just pluck off bits, because it is throughout all the scripture. The basis of which what we believe in this wonderful book is the resurrection. And it says this in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You know, we witnessed a few weeks ago baptism. Baptism's a brilliant picture of being baptized, isn't it? Into the death and... Oh, that's why each time there's a baptism, I'm always wanting to be quite close to the water, because I just love the thing of, oh. He's wonderful, isn't he? Just another scripture. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you don't want to turn there, it's fine. I'll read through them. This is a little bit what I was mentioning earlier on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, which is what I said earlier on. And your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. That breaks my heart when I think of so many in the world at the moment whose faith is futile. It's in themselves. It's in a culture. It's in a set of beliefs that basically is secular, which is, I'll look after myself. I'm not bothered what everyone else does. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. We know many that have fallen in sleep with Christ, don't we? You can think now of those that are with the Lord. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. Oh, okay, I'm going to read the next word. And it's a big word. It's the most important word. It's the word that gets me excited. It's the word that gives me hope. But, oh Jesus, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Oh. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts to an end all the rule of all authorities and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Oh, wonderful life. I had some questions for you. I did have a picture that I was going to show, but my apologies to the tech team. I sent it very late last night via email, and I apologise, it's not... Oh, you've got it. You probably think you'll be very disappointed when you see the picture now, but I just wanted a little picture. This is an illustration really of, I've talked a bit about the resurrection, I want to talk about the life. Okay, ignore a couple things on the rucksack, okay, but my eldest son was going to go and he went and did a Duke of Edinburgh walk, a hike, just in North Wales, and we were helping get his kit bag ready, okay. And it's a very simplistic kit bag, but there are a couple of things on this that caught my eye, thinking about the resurrection and the life. The Lord Jesus gives us a life, but he also equips us for the life. Okay? He doesn't just kind of in some ways come along, do that resuscitation, you'll be fine now for a year or so. He doesn't. He does a lot more. And I was just going through some of the things, like at the bottom, the clothes. So I was thinking about being clothed in humility. The life will be one that's laid down. It says in Micah 6, humble yourselves, doesn't it? What does the God require of you? To love mercy, to walk, to do justly and walk humbly before your king. I got it, didn't I? We got it together, didn't we? So, walk, food. Jesus said that his food was to do the will. What happens to our will sometimes? We like to do what we want to do. Okay? We do sometimes do what we want to do. And we've had conversations. Let the Lord be the will in our life. Okay? He wills us to do good. Sleeping bag. Okay, I started to struggle when I was at home trying to think of links here. Okay, sleeping bag. Well, oh, this is brilliant. Okay, we've got, okay. Now, tent. He offers shelter. And I was thinking about the wings, his large wings. In Isaiah, doesn't it talk about it? Okay, it shelter, we can shelter under his wings. Okay, the tent. Then I thought here on the two sides, okay, we've got liquid fuel and we've got water bottle. And I was thinking liquid fuel. Got it. I'm a bit, you know where I was going, but it is the Holy Spirit, it's the sap of the vine. He gives us liquid fuel. Is it always at the top of the mountain that you'll feel that you'll need liquid fuel? It's the valleys. So liquid fuel, Holy Spirit, you've got a survival bag. There are times when you go through, and I still find it, suffering and death a mystery in some regards. It's not easy. But there is in some ways a survival bag. And what is that? I would say that one day we're going to see the Lord Jesus again with a completely new body. Okay, lunch. He gives you enough bread for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Okay, you've got 5 minutes. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today, he gives us enough bread for today. Waterproofs. Armour of God. Great one. We'll go with Rogers. The armour of God in Ephesians. And above all, yes, and a link with it is prayer. The important thing about the armour of God is it's to pray. Okay, we won't go any more, but we've got a head torch. We've got a head torch and we did, I am the light of the world. Do you remember one of the I ams? He does direct our paths. I'm starting to scrape the barrel unless anyone else got any other ones. Head torch. He's a lamp unto our... Yeah. Light unto our path. Brilliant. But can you just say, the picture's done and gone with now. It's just this illustration of he equips his people. And this morning, if you've never known the Lord Jesus in your heart, when you just allow him to come in, he brings into us very practical things into our life. I would not be able to survive in a workforce that is so anti-God if it wasn't for something the Lord has done inside of the life, which is a resurrection life. Yeah. And as Peter said, there's living hope, which is a regeneration of our life. Old things are passed away. He has new things for you. I think he'd love to go around the room, the Lord Jesus, and say to you, I have new things for you. Will you walk with me? Precious Lord, I did have a couple questions. When you were born again, you received new spiritual life within. If you think of new spiritual life as part of the resurrection power of Christ working within you, how does that give you encouragement in living the Christian life and in ministering to people's needs? Answers on a postcard. How does it help ministering to people's needs? Does it help? Yeah. Ah, that's what I wanted. Another one. The Bible says that you are now seated with Christ in the heavenly places in Ephesians 2. As you meditate on this fact, how will it affect your prayer life and your engaging in spiritual warfare against demonic forces? Yes. He's accomplished it. Yes, it will invigorate you. You know, we read these things in Scripture, but sometimes you've got to reread them to say, this is life. Yeah. I'll finish now. Thank you for the picture and sorry the email was so late. But this morning, if you have just thought about the resurrection life, oh, should we just embrace it? precious Lord, should we just close our eyes and say, I want to respond to the Lord Jesus today, this morning, we have a few minutes. Should we do that? We have a couple minutes. Just in your heart, you open it up, you say to the Lord, don't be fearful about who's in the room, but you can actually just exchange words with the Lord. He loves us. He wants to give resurrection life. And there's power in that life. Power in the ordinary heart.